Hi, and welcome to the Calvary Foursquare podcast. Our goal at Calvary is to reach our community with the truth and love of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So if you would like to find out more of who we are, you can go to our new website at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or search for us on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare. Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
Today, I titled this message, as we're going to continue in our book in Philippians. Today, I'm going to be talking about suffer victoriously. And what we're going to be talking about is the life of Paul and just where he's at when we look through these texts. And so today, what we're going to be going through is Philippians 12 through 26. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of run through it, and then I'm going to kind of give some background on how he even got here in the first place. And so it's just really interesting, but at the end of the day, it's all about suffer victoriously, and what was his mindset, and what does that actually mean when we look at this text? So before I get started, when I was in college, I had this class that was called The Life and Letters of Paul, and it was really great because we went through Paul's journey on where he traveled from, just all of his missionary journeys, just through all of Europe, and the different dynamics he had with other speakers, with other apostles during that time. And one of the things that really stuck out to me was something that we had to learn for our final, was that through the eyes of man, Paul's life was about pain and suffering, but through the eyes of God, it was for glory and honor. And so I thought that was something that's just always stuck with me, that it didn't matter what he was going through. He understood that in God's perspective, his life was for glory and for honor. And so today we're just going to go ahead and quickly, we're going to go through Philippians 12 through 26. So I'll just read it all together, and I'll have my mom follow me along. So verse 12, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and all of the rest that my chains are in Christ, and most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak of the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether it's pretense or in truth, Christ preached, and in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better, or for the better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by coming to you again." So there's a lot there. There's a lot to go through. There's a lot to kind of go around. So I'm just going to go ahead and start with the very first verses, 12 through 14. And so they are, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." So to kind of give background at this point, he has been, when we picture this, we kind of picture him as he's in prison. He's in this dungeon with chains, and it's dark and it's wet. But in reality, where he's at right now is he's on house arrest in the place that is in Rome. And he's not like in this huge dungeon. He's at a house, and he has people, Roman soldiers, and people visiting him throughout this time. So in his mindset right now, he's stuck at home, and he can't go anywhere. He's under arrest. But he is saying right here, He's not worried about his circumstances. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which have happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. He's not saying, oh, woe is me. He's saying, look what happened to me. Look what's happening to the gospel because of this. His mindset wasn't even about his own circumstances. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ, and most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident by my chains, which are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So Paul's circumstances is that he is arrested because he was preaching the gospel. Jewish leaders at that time hated Paul and hated these apostles because they were continuing to do what Jesus was doing. They were spreading his word. They were spreading his testimony. They were spreading his life. And the Jews hated that. And so they wanted to arrest him. And so when they arrested him, because Paul was Roman, he appealed to Caesar. So then the Roman soldiers had to escort him to his house over in Rome. And the cool thing about it is when you look at it, going back into his other letters in Acts 28, which we'll get to in a little bit, on his way there, he was shipwrecked for 2 months onto the side and didn't have, they're basically waiting, holding him prisoner. And during that time, when we look at it, he didn't just stop and just say, oh, woe is me. He was preaching the word to those Roman soldiers and to those other prisoners. He didn't let his circumstances stop what God was doing. He didn't let his circumstances affect his mood and affect his attitude of where he was at in life. But Paul had to appeal to Caesar because he was Roman. And Romans didn't really see fault in what he was doing, honestly. They didn't really care. But Rome didn't really like Christians at that time. They thought that they just kind of caused disruption in their community. So they much rather just have them out, just not in their community. And so as we're looking at this and as we're seeing him at his home, I kind of did some research on just kind of like this teaching. And one of the guys that I was reading had this really interesting point that during this apostolic age, with all these apostles preaching the word and all of these people that are trying to go through Rome, that when Paul was in prison, in house arrest for 2 years, he had nothing but time to speak to the Roman soldiers and to the Roman leaders that were in his house and to talk about the power of Christ and talk about God and who he is. And you can see that right after the apostolic age, Roman soldiers, when they retire, what happened to them is they got a lot of land and money to build a house. And what we began to see was the revival in Rome was that these soldiers, these random soldiers that we can speculate that they either were talking to Paul or they were talking to other leaders like Paul and dramatically changed and became Christians because they used that land and they used that money to build churches. And that was the start of the Roman revival. During that time was right after this apostolic age. So when we look at Philippians, when we look at this letter and you think about where Paul's at, he didn't use it as a, oh, woe is me. Oh, if only I could be free and preaching God's word where I wanted to. No, he understood that he was exactly where he needed to be. He understood that where he was at, God was still going to work through him. How often do we stop with our circumstances and say, well, if only I had more money, I could do this. Well, if only if I had extra time, I can go help out with them. Well, if only I was brave enough to speak these things that God is saying to me, to my friends and to those around me. What is the circumstances that are holding you back? What are the circumstances where you are counting yourself out? Because Paul had every reason to not preach, had every reason to just stay at home and hang out. But he used those opportunities to preach God's word. But to also get his circumstance, his trial that he was gonna be facing, again, he's under house arrest, he's waiting for his trial. He's gonna be in an unfair trial at this point because the Jews are just speaking negatively against him and he's just at home. And Romans already don't have a great view of Christianity, so he's already kind of on the low side anyway. And so he knows that, he understands that. And if it was me in that situation, I'd be panicking. I'd be stressed out because I'm thinking I'm about to die any day. But what he did is when we look at, and I'm going to kind of just for time's sake, we look back at Acts 28 and we look about his entrance into Rome and what happened And what was great was once he got into his house, once he got under house arrest, the Jewish leaders and other Roman leaders came to his house. And they were kind of having this back and forth banter about God, about Jesus, about who he is. And one of the key parts in this whole thing was in Acts 28, verses 28 through 31. And it says this, when Paul was speaking to them, he says, "So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus for both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning until evening." So it was all day. It wasn't just a one-time thing. It was a full day conversation. "And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some were disbelieved. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul." Sorry, I started in verse 23, so I'm kind of catching you up to 28. "So when they did not agree amongst themselves, they departed after Paul had said the word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our father, saying, 'Go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see but not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears have hard of hearing, and their eyes have been closed, lest they should see their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I will heal them.'" And then we're jumping, and then we're going to verse 28, where he says this, "Therefore, let it be known to you," again, the Jewish leaders and these Roman leaders, "let it be known to you that the Gentiles, they will hear it. And when he said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute amongst themselves. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things that which concern the Lord Jesus with all confidence, no one forbidding him." So what he's saying here is, yeah, these people, I'm going to preach the word to you. I'm going to be Jesus to you. I'm going to do the best I can, but you're not really going to hear it. Some of you may hear it, but some of you are going to have dull ears. Some of you are going to have a perceived idea. But these Gentiles, these people that you look down on, these people that you don't care about, these people that you have forgotten about, they're going to see these things, and they're going to hear it, and they're going to watch, and they're going to believe. He knew in his mind God's word. He knew in his time right now that God had an opportunity already set in place right when he got sent into prison and under house arrest. He didn't waver because of his circumstances. He didn't stop and think, oh my gosh, now I have to put everything on pause. Actually, what happened was during his house arrest for 2 years, he was writing letters to the Ephesians, Colossians, and the Philippians, the one that we're going to read today. 3 books in 2 years of prison that are right now currently in the Bible, God's living word. And he had people over constantly teaching. He welcomed those who came to his house. He was constantly inviting the Roman soldiers to have conversations with him. He was inviting people that he would never have a chance with if he just walked into Rome and started preaching God's word. Because you think, if he's in prison, he's in prison for these really hard charges, these people are the higher-ups, right? These people aren't just the random soldiers that are on the gate. These are the people that are in charge watching over him. And now they're stuck in a house a whole day, one-on-one with him, where he can just preach God's word and they have nothing to do but sit there and listen. He would not have had this opportunity if he just kept in his circumstances and said, I'm under house arrest. I'm in prison. I'm stuck. No, he took his circumstance and gave it to God, because he wasn't thinking about the worldly vision of where he was at. He was thinking kingdom-minded. He was just like what you guys just said earlier, that we need to have those kingdom thoughts about those around us. What is it that God wants us to do right now, regardless of our circumstances? Because I know we aren't in prison. I know we're not stuck at home. I know we were during COVID, but we're out of that now. Well, we're out of the house part at least, but you know what I'm saying. But his circumstances, he arrested for not doing anything wrong. He's stuck in that house for 2 years, facing death, and it all depended on one person, Caesar. And we're going to go into that later in this, because it kind of comes full circle. So we did that, yep. Paul was suffering victoriously. He knew that because of his relationship with God, he was where he was supposed to be. He didn't waver, he didn't stumble. I know with us and how we think and in our own culture, we always think we need to have a plan. We always think we need to have our future planned out. And if it doesn't go that way, then what do we do? And so we always have to have a plan. We always have to have a backup plan, a fallback, and something that, well, if this goes wrong, then this is what I'm going to do. And then more often than not, our plans don't go the way that we thought. And so then we think, oh, well, we lost. We lost this opportunity. We didn't get what we thought we would get. And so then we stop and we don't even think about what can God do with this right now. We just think, oh, I'm stuck with this situation. I know that when we get in that mindset, when we start thinking about the world, when we start thinking about, you know, what we have around us, that is completely normal, right? Because we live in this world. And that's just how we've grown up. That's just how we've thought. But what Paul has done, what Paul is trying to teach us is we have to get out of that mindset. We have to get out of that thought of we're just stuck where we're at right now. This is all I can do. This is all I have. Because God can work through any one of us. If he can work through Paul in prison for 2 years, imagine what he can do with you with your freedom, especially in the kind of country we're in right now where we can just go out and proclaim God's word to those around us. You see, when we look at, let's look at verse Philippians 12, verse 14. One thing that's really key here is that verse 14. Perfect. Yeah. Yeah, awesome. Thanks, Mom. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. When you are inspired, when you are lighting up about something, when you see someone that's really excited about a certain topic, even if you don't know what it is, you want to engage. You want to know, what are they so excited about? You want to know, why is this person so excited about this one thing? Same thing with Paul. With his circumstance and how he has been approaching it, people have become confident because of his situation, because he's not handling it as suffering. He's handling it as being in victory. More people are speaking boldly of the word without fear. Have you ever thought about, like, when you have, like, either like a puppy or a cat, maybe not a cat, but like a puppy, when you go up to them and you could say whatever you want, but your tone of your voice is really high pitch and you're just like, come on, let's go outside. Let's go outside. And they just get excited. They have no idea what you're saying. They're just reading off of what you're doing. And so the same thing it is with when we talk to other people. If we are bright and we are excited and we feel like we are loved and accepted and we have this kingdom vision, people want to be a part of that. People are going to be contagious by that. And we see that right here in Paul's letters to the Philippians. People are speaking boldly and without fear because of his chains, where he could very have easily just said, yeah, I'm stuck at home, guys. I don't know what to do. You guys are just going to have to wait until I get out. Imagine what could have happened in that if he didn't have that conversation. But then when we look at 15, and I'm going to go 15 through 18 here, it says, some indeed preach Christ even in envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my chains, but latter out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. What when? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, will rejoice. So again, another situation. Paul is in prison, and so now other speakers are kind of having this opportunity of, it's my time to shine. It's my time to be the next Paul. I'm going to preach, and I'm going to make a name for myself. And Paul is calling it out right here. Paul is saying that people are going to preach out of selfish ambition, out of envy, out of strife, because they want to be the next Paul. They want to be that next name. And he understood that. But yet he still rejoiced because the word of God was still being preached. Even though it didn't come from the right heart, even though it didn't come from the right place, his kingdom mind was, hey, you know what? God's word is still being preached. That's awesome. But he understood himself. He couldn't do that. But how often when we read this, when they're reading this, do we start doing stuff for our own gain? When we start helping others for our own, like, emotions of feeling like, yeah, I helped out today. That felt really good. And you did it for you. Or you were talking to someone, maybe it was about Jesus, but in a way it was to kind of puff yourself up, say that you know all these things that you just learned, rather than preaching in a way that furthers their relationship with God. You see, we can sometimes get caught. Maybe it originally comes from a good heart. Maybe it originally comes with the right intention of, hey, I want to preach God's word. We need to examine ourselves when we are helping those around us, when we are preaching God's word. Are we really doing it for God? Or are we doing it for ourselves? And are we doing it because we love God and we want to worship God in this way? Are we doing it to make ourselves feel better because we just feel bad about ourselves? A lot of us sometimes just discount, you know, our ability, so we don't even try to preach God's word. Sometimes we just get stuck in our own thoughts. Sometimes we get stuck in our own, well, this could happen. What if I mess up here? What if I don't even preach it right? What if I mess up? Well, guess what? If you don't even speak at all, you're messing up already. You might as well have already said you failed if you never went and spoke God's word when you knew you had the opportunity to. That doesn't mean you're a complete failure, because you're going to have other opportunities. Because Paul has plenty of opportunities, even when he's under house arrest. You will always have a chance to preach God's word. You will always have a chance to spread his love. You will always have an opportunity to be that light. The question is, are you willing to do it in the right heart? Are you willing to do it with that kingdom focus, with that kingdom mindset, knowing to further God's love to those around us? And so when we look at verses 19 through 21, this is, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So this is kind of where I'm going back to. Paul would not have an opportunity unlike this, because what he is saying right here is that he is going to go to this court where Caesar and the most highest up of Roman leadership is going to be. And in that opportunity to give himself a defense, he's not going to defend himself. He's going to proclaim the gospel. He would never have that opportunity unless he was under arrest. He would never have that opportunity just by walking in Rome. You see, God had a plan and had a purpose for him. And he didn't let his circumstances stop him from doing what God has called him to do. And now he has an opportunity to go and preach God's word to the most powerful man in Rome, the most powerful empire at this time. Imagine, like, if I was in that situation, I know I'd be terrified, and I know I would try to defend myself. But the mindset that Paul has here, and it's in that very last verse, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And this is something I really want us to understand, is that he understood in that moment that even if he did die, it was gain, because he would no longer be a part of this world. He would be seeing Jesus face to face. He would have done something so obedient that he would have been just like Jesus by dying for his faith, doing what he knew was right. And my question to you is, are you willing to die for your faith? Are you willing to take that step and be in an uncomfortable situation to talk about Christ for a little bit with someone that you may not know? Let's start there. Are you willing to talk about Jesus to those that are your coworkers or to those that you see every day? Parents, are you even willing to share your relationship with Christ to your own kids? And I'm talking about your relationship, not what you know, but your relationship with God. Are you willing to share your heart and what you've gone through in the way that you know that's going to help them? Oh, but I just, if I get into God's word a little bit more, if I'm a little bit more consistent in my prayer, then I'll go. No, what right now? It doesn't matter. It does matter if you get into God's word or not, but right now is such a key opportunity. And guess what? The conversation continue as you get into God's word now. But for me, for Paul, to live is Christ, to be like Christ, and to die is to gain. Other ways to say this in today's world, and kind of like how we read this, is to live is to feel good, to die is to feel nothing. To live is to have people like me, and to die is to be forgotten. We always think about, when we read this verse, what does this actually mean to me? Do you want people to like you? Do you really want people around you to feel like that, oh yeah, they're such a good person, but you're so afraid that you just don't want to be forgotten by these people around you. You need those people around you. What does this verse start working inside of you, start pulling apart for you? To live is wealth and success. To die is to leave it all behind. To live, we need to have money, we need to have security, we need to have insurance, we need to have all of these things. Or you can go the exact opposite route of saying, to live is pointless, and to die is to cease existing. And then the last one is, to live is to be a good person, and to die is to hope that I did enough. Not These aren't what Jesus has for us. These aren't what we need to put in ourselves. This is what the world would say is to live in Christ and to die is gain. We need to have people love us. We need to have all this money. We need to have all this stuff. We need to make sure that we do the best that we can. But you know what? Life is pointless by the time you die. No, to live is Christ. To live is to love. Because that's what Christ did to each and every one of us. That's what Christ did when he was on this earth. That is what Paul is doing right now when he's writing these letters. He knows these people need encouragement. He knows these people need the word of God. He knows that these people need to understand that Paul is okay where he's at. And he's writing these letters to them, just hoping that they can still grow. But to not worry about his situation, because he understood that God's got this. And I want you to understand that God's got this. I'm okay. For me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. So are you willing to give your circumstances to God? Are you willing to not have everything be perfect, but do what God has already asked you to do, regardless of the things that you know you need to do right now? Maybe God's calling you to be more active in your small groups, or be more active in your men's group or your women's group, or to be more active in youth group or in Sunday school, wherever it is. But you're like, oh, well, once I make more time, I'll be more a part. Once I make more time, then I'll start getting more involved. Once I make more time, then I'll include myself more. Once I really get the hang of this whole reading the Bible thing, maybe I'll speak out more what God's doing in me. No, that's not what God wants. God wants you to give his circumstances and understand that he has you right where he wants you to be right now. God has a plan and a purpose for you today. God has a plan and purpose for you in this very moment. And you may not be in prison like Paul is and stuck under house arrest, but in the situations that you're in right now, wherever you're at in life, God has a direction he wants to move in and through you. So where is that? Who is it that you need to talk to? Who is it that you need to love on? Because if I'm being honest, yeah, you may not have the most ideal circumstance. You may not have exactly what you thought you would by now. But I don't think when we look at this text that Paul, you know, I don't think Paul planned on being in prison for 2 years. I don't think he planned on being in prison at all when he started preaching God's word. He knew he had to travel. He knew he had to go to all these places and spread the word. He didn't think he'd be stuck at home for 2 years. And when he's stuck at home for 2 years, he didn't have, you know, Facebook, he didn't have Netflix, he didn't have YouTube, you know, to pass by the time. He sat and he wrote these letters. He wrote to these people, and everyone that he came in, all he could do was just talk about God to these people. And because of his suffering in his circumstances, there was still victory that God was able to work. Because of that, we now have key parts of the New Testament written in our Bibles today. To those, when we look at that last verse, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, that's pretty scary, because for those who don't believe and for those who are may not quite sure who God is and what, you know, eternity means, life on earth to them, this is all there is. And to think about death is really scary because you don't know what's next. So it's natural for people that are in this world that may not believe in Jesus to strive for those things like wealth, money, and success. And that's understandable. But for Paul, to live meant to develop a value of eternity, a value of loving others just like Jesus did, to bring Christ to those around him. He understood that only through Christ could you see eternity in a perspective that is not scary. That only through Christ you had a place to go after death. So this verse is so key, because at this point we understand that Paul, when he is going into this trial, he is going with his chest puffed and he is walking with pride. He is invincible at this point because he understood that, hey, if I live, I'm going to continue spreading God's word. And guess what? They're going to allow me. And if I die, hey, I die, I'm with Jesus. At this point, he was invincible. Either way was a win for him. And so when we look at our circumstances, when we look at our life, and we worry about winning or losing with what we have, if we give that to God and have that eternal perspective that, hey, you know what? If things don't go the way that I plan right now, that's fine because God's got me in the future. But hey, if everything goes as planned, hey, guess what? That's awesome. Now, how am I going to preach God's word through that? To live is Christ and to die is gain. To win is to be with Christ and to die is gain. You're still working for God in those moments. And Paul understood that. And so I'm going to end with these last three verses. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. You see, Paul, when he's closing this up, we understand that Paul had a purpose, and he knew that purpose for God. He was writing these letters to the Philippians. He was writing these letters to the Ephesians and to the Colossians. He was writing these, and they had meaning to them. He was preaching God's word to these Roman soldiers when they were coming into his house. He had a purpose in the midst of his suffering, in the midst of his circumstances. We also need a purpose, right, that goes beyond just meeting our fleshly needs, meeting our needs of eating lunch at noon and dinner at 6:30 and making sure that we go to bed before midnight and those things. We need a purpose that's greater than that. So who can you serve and help? Who can you be Jesus to those around you? What is your purpose for living? I know these are really deep questions, but I think these are questions that some of us may try to avoid because we don't know the answer to. What is your purpose for living? Who are you? See, through Paul's imprisonment, he was willing to risk everything for God. He was willing to risk his circumstances. Through Paul's imprisonment, he preached the word to people that he never would have had the chance to if he just walked in the first place. He never would have had a chance to just sit down and write these letters. He had every excuse when he was in prison to not follow God anymore. He had every excuse to save his own life. and just say, yeah, I won't preach anymore. That's fine. I'll just, you know, be myself and hang out. He had every reason to do that. And 2 years is a really long time to think about that. He could have been scared for his life. But instead, because he had this kingdom focus, he preached to everyone that walked in his house. He reached out to the local churches to encourage them to keep moving forward. And he lived a life filled with joy and peace. He didn't see his life as suffering, but as victory. He lived in a suffering victory. That alone allows me to see my circumstances and the things that I have in life going, you know what, it's not as bad as I'm really making it out to be. These things I'm stressed about, yeah, like they're important, but God's got this. Mm-hmm. If God can do this through Paul when he is in prison, facing death at any given moment, I know God's going to take care of me, whether it works out the way I'm planning or not. And so I'll go ahead and invite you guys to lead worship, because I'm going to go ahead and enter into prayer. And what I'm going to do while we pray is, for those of you who are scared of eternity, are not quite sure about what's next, for those of you that may not experience Jesus in your life, and you are terrified, you're not sure what's next, and you don't know what to do, but you are really interested in this whole Jesus thing, and having this perspective that's not all about you and it's not all about this world right now, but that there is something greater outside of our own perspective. I'm going to invite you during this time of prayer, and I want everyone, when I say it, for it to repeat after me. That way, no one's singled out. But when we do this prayer, I want you to really speak it from your heart. And when you do that, I want you to believe that Jesus is in your heart at that point, and he is going to take care of you for eternity. That was a promise made in the Bible, and it will stick with you no matter what. And then after we pray, and you made that prayer, I encourage you to either talk to me or to Pastor Rick or to anyone on the prayer team, and just share your experience with Jesus. Share what's going on and the circumstances that you're afraid of. Because we all have circumstances, right? We all have things that we're afraid to face or that we just don't want to deal with in our life right now. I get that. But we need, that's where we need Jesus, in that kingdom perspective of saying, you know what? God's got this. He has a plan and a purpose for our life. So I'm going to go ahead and end with prayer. Dear God, just thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in this church. Thank you for what you're doing in this city. Thank you for what you're doing in this county, God. And just, God, I just pray that for this next season of our lives, that you just continue to pour your love and to pour your peace into all of us as we get super busy in this next season with everything coming up, God. I pray that as our circumstances change, as our plans begin to waver, and when life isn't going the way that we planned, that we can take a step back and just trust in you, God. I pray that for any fear or anxiety that gets stirred up inside of us, God, I just pray that you're in the back of our minds and that we can just pray to you in those moments and release that anxiety onto you. Just remember that you are taking care of us. That whether if our plans work out or not, you still have a plan and a purpose for us, and that we can follow that. God, and I encourage those who want to offer their circumstances up to you, and that they just want to have that life of eternity. They want to have that assurance that they know that there is more than what is offered in this world, and that there is more than just this current life, God. So I just invite everyone to repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I pray that you'll be in my heart. I see you as Lord and my Savior. I give myself to you completely and every day. Help me see eternity in your eyes.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to hear more of our messages or find more information on who we are, you can find us at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare Church. Thank you again for listening, and have a good day.